We're at the Nebraska Cattlemen's Annual Meeting in Kearney this week, and we're going to talk with Brandon Deppenbush, who is Vice President of Operations with Innovative Livestock Services based in Kansas. And Brandon was here today to talk about Secure Beef Supply Program, but also the Kansas Animal ID Pilot Project called Cattle Trace that you're working on. Brandon, first of all, tell us about Innovative Livestock Services, what you do.
Yeah, thanks, Ken, for having me on your show today, and I appreciate the time and your interest in visiting with me. Innovative Livestock Services, we're a cattle feeding company. We have feed yards located in Kansas, and we have three feed yards up here in Nebraska. So cattle feeding is the core of our company. We also farm and have some other investments along with it, but cattle feeding would be the core of what we do.
Okay. And talk about your interest. Obviously, you're very passionate about these subjects. Why?
Yeah, I'm very passionate about Secure Beef and Cattle Trace, our pilot project in Kansas. Passionate because it's our industry. We need to protect it. And whatever we can do, you know, from the standpoint of disease traceability, we're the only country in the world, exporting beef country in the world, that does not have a traceability system. And we're America, and that's a shame. And we have a lot at risk. I mean, the exports are $300+ value to a steer that we feed today. So there's a lot at risk for us not having a traceability system. We live in a world where, whether it's tourism or terrorist, either one of them could have an accidental or an intentional introduction of a foreign animal disease, such as foot and mouth disease, to our country. So we live in a different world. So in a different world, I think we need to take a different approach. So Secure Beef Supply would be a defensive mechanism, if you will, and it is a way for us to, how do we defend our borders, if you will, around our operations and prevent that disease from coming in. Cattle Trace is more of an offensive play, if you will, from a standpoint if, God forbid, we would have a disease outbreak in our country. Cattle Trace, or a traceability system, allows us to go quickly identify potential at-risk animals and quarantine those animals and assess the damage, and ultimately, with both of them, would be to minimize the damage, the collateral damage, and hopefully be able to maintain some of those export markets or be able to regain them back sooner.
If we were to have an FMD outbreak today, how long would it take? What would the repercussions be?
Well, that's a really good question. I mean, I think some of your listeners may be aware of a tuberculosis traceback we had here in South Dakota, Nebraska, I believe in Kansas as well, Texas, multiple states we had a while back. And I believe 15 months, 2 years, it took to trace that back. We don't have 15 months. We don't have 12 months. We don't have 2 years to do a trace back on such a product. So I would have no idea telling you what it is. I can just tell you as a proxy, it took us 2 years or 15 months, 16 months to trace back a single TB case. And I'm guessing it'd take that or longer.
And what you'd like to see is, what, hours instead of days and months?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the new technology, Walmart issued a decree, or some of their VPs got together and they wanted to trace back mangoes. How fast can we trace back mangoes? Put the task to his team. It took him 3 months to trace back a single mango to a farm. Now with blockchain technology, that's not what we're dealing with, but it's a traceability system. With the blockchain traceability system, it was seconds. So my goal would be hours. I mean, as short as we can, because time is very important when we're trying to do one of those investigations. So, yeah, hopefully within a day, within hours, within minutes, we'll be able to identify potential animals that are at risk and dispatch people to those animals and to try to quarantine them and prevent the spread.
Now, the recent deal with romaine lettuce, and I know it's a different deal, but they seem to be able to trace that back pretty fast. Is there a system there that they're using that the livestock industry needs to be using?
Yeah, I'm not familiar with what system they have with romaine lettuce. Bottom line, they have a traceability system. Whether it uses a traditional database like we're using for our cattle trace pilot project, or it's using blockchain technology, it's a traceability system. And our listeners should hear that, right? I mean, romaine lettuce, mangoes at Walmart, cattle. You know, traceability, it's something that we need to have, and we should be proud of the product we produce, right? I mean, we live in Nebraska, we live in Kansas, we produce some of the best beef in the world. We ought to be proud to put our name and our number on it and say, yes, that product come from Nebraska and Kansas. So I don't know the specifics of those traceability systems, but bottom line is they have a traceability system, and we don't.
Okay, so the Cattle Trace program, the pilot project for animal ID that you're working on in Kansas, and we understand that this is kind of being looked at as a model for a national program possibly going forward. Sounds like you're pretty pleased with the way it's gone so far?
Very pleased. Very pleased with how it's gone so far. We have some tremendous partners. I mean, can I tell you what? We have some of the best partners on this pilot project, from sale barns to feed yards to packers to cow-calf producers. We have a lot of very positive partners. We have USDA and Kansas Department of Ag that's helped supporting it, KLA, that's helped, Kansas Livestock Association, that's helped financially supporting our pilot project. So, yeah, we have a lot of support in that pilot project. What's fun is it started as a Kansas traceability pilot project for contagious diseases, right? The fun thing is our pilot project itself is becoming contagious, and it's spreading across state boundaries into other states. So what I mean by that is we have Oklahoma, Missouri, Nebraska, and states clear out east and clear up in the Pacific Northwest calling out and wanting to see how they can participate in such a pilot project. And I think that's great, Ken, because individual state pilot projects isn't going to work. We need to have a regional effort. And make no doubt about it, I mean, our goal would be is that the Cattle Trace pilot project, the foundation, the infrastructure that we're trying to build and develop, that we want that to be, or something very near to it, the foundation of a national ID system. Because, you know, we will have a disease traceability system one day if we ever have a foot and mouth disease outbreak. Okay, we will have a system. And in that case, it'll be somebody from federal government or state government or whatever that's potentially going to be building that for us. And they don't know our industry as well as we do, Ken. I mean, we know our operations. We know what works for us. We know the value of speed of commerce. We understand those things. So I tell producers that we will have a traceability system someday if we ever have if we ever have foot and mouth disease. The Cattle Trace or the pilot projects that are going on in that area allows us to build that pilot project, build that infrastructure that fits best for all of us, and we can do it and set it up in advance. It works best for us. All the other countries we've talked to that have a disease traceability system, they're absolutely envious of us because they were forced into a system by their government, and it just doesn't work for them. It just doesn't work for them. And I can't name the number of times that they just say how they wish that they were in the seat that we are, that we're able to build it before a disease outbreak.
One of the keys to making it work is the cow-calf guy, right? I mean, that's where it starts, and that's kind of where the resistance has been in the past?
Yeah, in the past, absolutely, in the past. There's been a lot of resistance 10 years ago or when this was first tried. A lot of things different today than 10 years ago. We're all more comfortable with our phones. You know, there's more technology in that phone, online banking, whatever. But to your point, yeah, absolutely, the producer level is – I wouldn't say we're having resistance in that in Kansas. I tell you, we've had numerous producer meetings. It doesn't matter what corner of the state I go to in Kansas, and it doesn't matter what segment of the industry I'm speaking to. People see the value of it. They understand the value of exports, and they said, yep, but there's a time. The time is probably now to do it. So the cow-calf producers are probably the one that's having some of the most concerns, and I think rightfully so. Who's going to pay for these tags, and how is it going to benefit me? And those are all questions that need to be flushed out in the pilot project. And, you know, is there a way for the industry to share the cost of those tags so that tag doesn't – the cost of that tag, I mean, we're talking $1, $2, but it's still $1 or $2. How do we share that cost in industry? And then to the point about one of the questions they always have is what's the value to me? And the value to us is our industry, our livelihood, our legacy, our facility, our operation, right? Without such a system and we had a major disease outbreak – that's all at risk. And I think, to me, that's value enough for me as a producer and as a feed yard operator.
And then the other concern, as I understand it, the big concern is the security of the data that you're collecting. And it sounds like you're very much trying to address that.
Yeah, that's a question we hear time and time again is the security of data. And it don't matter what segment of the industry you talk to. And we're taking that very seriously. I mean, I'm a producer as well, and I take that very seriously. So we've formed a 501c3, a nonprofit company called Cattle Trace Inc., and it owns the database, the structure that houses the data. And the important thing about that is it's a third-party database, means it's not tied to the state or to the government in any way. So it's free from Freedom of Information Act, so that information is protected. You just can't go through court records or whatever to get to that information. So we have, right now, just starting out, we have 5 board of directors that represent different segments in our industry in Kansas. They're all board of directors from Kansas. And our objective or our goals of that board is to determine who, when, and how gets access to that data. You know, we can all, most, I'm guessing pretty much all your listeners would agree, if we had a foot and mouth disease, and that's the worst case scenario, but both of these can apply to different disease outbreaks. But in the worst case scenario of foot and mouth disease, we would be pretty comfortable with, if we have foot and mouth disease, yeah, go get the data, right? We need to figure out where that's at. The WHO, you know, the animal health commissioners, Mr. Dennis Hughes and Dr. Justice Smith in Kansas, all those people, I think that's the people that should have access to it. But we need to define the policies of who, when, and how, and define different a tiered approach. You know, we have the highest tier, the most at risk, and they get access to that data right away. Versus on the other hand, maybe it's a tuberculosis deal. It's, you know, it's had to go jump through some more hoops or whatever to get to that information.
So ideally, this would have been done yesterday, but timeline, I think yours is about a 2-year project. At that point, I mean, how quickly can this be developed into a national program?
Yeah, that's probably your hardest question you've asked so far. It is a 2-year pilot project. And why we've been saying 2 years, we have funding locked up for 2 years to help develop this infrastructure. I don't want it to stop in 2 years because the industry needs it. I don't think we'll be in a position in 2 years to be able to have the true infrastructure that could be, and maybe we can. I don't know. Maybe I need to be a little more optimistic. I think it's going to take more than 2 years. I'd like to be able to see if we can source some more funding to help get some of these more tags out there in the system. We're only using 55,000 tags, and that sounds like a lot in one respect, but if you look at it from the standpoint of Kansas, that's less than 1% of our cattle, so that's not very many tags. So really, I'd like to have some more tags in the system, and what would really expedite that process for us to get to the end zone, if you will, to be able to get to the national system, is we need to be able to have some state partners, across-border state partners that would participate. And I think it elevates it to another level. We had the Secretary Ibach in our office a couple weeks ago visiting with that, and you can rest assured that Undersecretary Ibach is very excited about this pilot project, and he says there's a lot of people watching it. And so what would help us just get over that end zone just a little bit is be able to get some more state partners.
Mm-hmm. And it's going to be a voluntary project, right? I mean, you're always going to have people that don't want to participate. So what level of participation do you need to call it successful?
You know, to have an industry significant traceability system, in world standards, we need to be 66-67% of animals traceable. I know that's really maybe not the question you is answering, but if we look at a national system, we'd need, you know, 2/3 of our cattle to have some traceability element to it for U.S. to be considered to have a traceability program in the eyes of our exporters. But it's more specific to your question as far as, you know, levels of participation. You're right. There's plenty of people out there that maybe don't have the shared vision that we have for disease traceability. And you know what? That's fine, Ken. I appreciate their perspective, and I guess this message would not be to them. This message would be to those that do have a shared vision for our industry, a shared vision for disease traceability, and they see the value of our exports and see the value of a traceability system. So to those producers, I'd say feel free to reach out to cattletrace.org. It's probably the best place to get information. We have a place there you can submit questions. There's some phone numbers and contact info. We have a participation fee for producers. It's on a per tag basis. So every tag, if you send us $20, we'll send you 20 tags. But again, come back to our earlier point, I only have 55,000 tags. We got to be pretty smart about where we put those. So if we have producers in the state that say, man, I'd really like to participate, I think the best thing to do is reach out to us at cattletrace.org and let's visit with them and see. And maybe we can get here in Nebraska, we can get some partner feed yards, we can get some partner packers, get some partner sale barns, and then ultimately some partner cow-calf producers will start feeding calves and cattle into this system. So I think cattletrace.org will be a good place for your listeners to go if they have any information, if they want to learn more, and to investigate it, how they could participate.